Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Nun, one Daf Memtes Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Begizei Tzemer Ve'imitaltel Noisan. The Mishnah teaches us that if one chooses to use Gizei Tzemer, shearings of wool, for Atmana, to wrap with them his pot, he can do so, because they're not Moisef Hevel, they don't generate heat. However, you must know that they are Mokta, Ve'imitaltel Noisan, one cannot move them on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, Lo Yishanu, this halach of Muktzah regarding Gizei Tzemer was only said, Ella, only provided Shaloi Taman Behem, that he hadn't used them for Atmana. In that case, they're Muktzah. Why are Gizei Tzemer Muktzah? So some of Farshim say because they're considered to be Muktzah Machmas Gufoy on account of the fact that they have no practical use on Shabbos. They're intended to be used, to be spun into threads, be woven into material. Others learn that the Gizei Tzemer are considered to be Muktze Machmas on account of Chisor and Kis. The owner won't use them for other purposes for concern of damaging them. So either way, they're considered to be Muktze, but Rava tells us that's only provided he hasn't used them for Atmana. Avol, says the Gemara, Taman Ben, but if he used them for Atmana, Metaltel and Oysan, they can move them on Shabbos, they lose their Muktze status, because using them for Atmana is tantamount to, it's as though he is miyach them, he designated them for this permissible use, and we don't regard them as muktzah items any longer. Says the Gemara, is that so? Eisvei hahum rabbanon bar yoyme l'rava. So this rabbanon, this person who came to the Beis Medrash, this was his first day, bar yoyme, the first day that he attended the Beis Medrash, and he asked the kasha of Rava. So apparently he wasn't a fixed feature in the Beis Medrash. He was a newcomer. Nevertheless, he had the ability to ask a very strong kasha, to challenge Rava to the extent that the Gemara actually retracts the statement of Rava as a result of this kasha. So what was this kasha? Toinim beGizei Tzemer. Take a look at our Mishnah. It says you're allowed to use Gizei Tzemer for Atmana. However, ve'eim etalten oisan der muktzah. And the Mishnah continues. Keitzad oisan. So what is he meant to do? If he covers his pot with these Gizei Tzemer, how is he meant to access his pot and take out the contents? Says the Mishnah, so he picks up the lid and has the Gizei Tzemer slide off. So he, by lifting the lid and having the Gizei Tzemer slide off, he doesn't have to come into direct contact with these Gizei Tzemer, and therefore he can access his pot. Apparently Mishnah is teaching us that Gizei Tzemer are still Muktzah. They still retain their Muktzah status even after their use for Atmana. So this is in direct contradiction to Rava's statement. Says Zumar, you write, Ela Yitmar, Hachi Yitmar. If we meant to learn, quote, this statement from Rava, this is really how we meant to teach it. Omar Rava, Lo Yishanu, when are Gizei Tzemer considered to be Muktzah? Ela Shelo Yichdan Atmana. That's only provided that he had never designated them. He wasn't miyached them. As Rashi says, yichdan la'atmana lo'olam. He hadn't permanently designated these Gizei Tzemer for the use of Atmana. Aval yichdan la'atmana. But if he was miyached them for Atmana lo'olam, permanently, then certainly they changed their status. Mitalten oisam, one can move them on Shabbos. They're not regarded as a muktzah item going forward. But merely using them for Atmana, the shimush itself, doesn't change its status. Says Gemara Itzmar Nam, we also learned, Ki also Rabban, when Rabban came, Omar Rav Yaakov, Omar Rav Asi, Ben Shmu, Ben Shol, Omar Rabbi. So he taught as follows in the name of Rabbi, Lo Yishanu, when do we regard these Gizei Tzemer as being Muktzah? Elash Lo Yichtan Atmana. When he had not designated them permanently for the use of Atmana. Aval Yichtan Atmana, but otherwise, if he did set them aside for Atmana, Metaltan Oysan, they're considered to be ordinary items and not Muktzah any longer. So, the case in our Mishnah is not a contradiction to this, because our Mishnah is speaking about Gizei Tzemer that were merely used for Atmana, but were not designated to be used for Atmana. He didn't permanently set them aside for Atmana, therefore, merely Shimush doesn't change its status, and they're still considered to be Muktzah. continues the Gemara. Ravina Omer, I'm going to answer the kasha from our Mishnah. Certainly, Rava's first version was correct. If a person takes Gizei Tzemer and merely uses them for Atmana, that is sufficient to be matir, the tiltal of these Gizei Tzemer, because it's as though he was miyachdem, at least temporarily, for Atmana. So what then does the Mishnah mean? That Gizei Tzemer is still considered to be Muktzah, even those Gizei Tzemer that are already used for Atmana, says Ravina. The Mishnah is speaking about a unique case. Mishal Heftek Shana. We're speaking about Gizei Tzemer, which were stored for commercial use. Rashi says they pile them up. They designate them for Schoira to be used for sale, for commercial use. In that case, merely taking some of these Gizei Tzemer and diverting them for Atmana doesn't change their status, because he's certainly going to restore it. He's going to bring it back and bring it back to the heftik, to the storehouse, to the pile of commercial goods, and therefore merely using them does not change their designation. They still have the status of mukta items. Once again, Ravina Omer, Bishal Heftik Shanu. These Gizei Tzemer, now Mishnah speaking about those that are lying in the heftik, these piles, these places of storage for commercial items. They're intended for sale, for schoira, and therefore they're still considered to be muksa, regardless of whether he used them or didn't use them for atmana. Tani Namayachi. We have a Bryson in support of this as well. The Bryson says, Gizei Tzemer shall heftik, eimet alt noisan. So these Gizei Tzemer that was set aside for commercial use, who piled up for schoira, eimet alt noisan, they're considered to be muksa. Vihimeskinon balabayit leshtamishben. However, if the Baal Bayis set them aside and designated them to be used, as we said before, it must be a yichud la'olam, a permanent designation. In that case, it certainly changes the status, even if these are Gizei Tzemer of the Heftik. Metaltun oisam, one can be metaltun ha'shabbos. So as Rashi and Tosfos both point out, that Rava and Ravina concur. They're both on the same page. Indeed, when Rava told us that Gizei Tzemer that were used for Atmana are no longer considered to be Muktzah, this is what he meant. He meant ordinary Gizei Tzemer, not those that are set aside in the heftik, in the warehouse for Schoira, for commercial use. He's speaking about regular Gizei Tzemer, and therefore if he uses them for Atmana, that changes its status. It's considered as though he designated, at least temporarily, for Atmana, for this permissible use on Shabbos, and it's considered to be non-muksa item. However, the Mishnah is speaking about heftik. So those Gizei Tzemer that were piled up for Schoira, certainly those Gizei Tzemer cannot become mutter simply by using them for Atmana. Those Gizei Tzemer require a yichud lo'olam, a permanent designation. As the Braisa tells us, the Baal HaBayis needs to designate his skin on Baal HaBayis leishtamash ben. In that case, this designation changes the status of even Gizei Tzemer of the Heftik. So in summary, what is the halacha of Gizei Tzemer? So if he was meyachedem lo'olam for other uses, for instance for Atmana, then ordinary Gizei Tzemer, even Gizei Tzemer of Heftik, change their status. They are no longer considered to be mukta items. However, if he merely used them, he was tamen bam, then it depends. Ordinary Gizei Tzemer become mutter through merely hatmana. However, the Gizei Tzemer of the Schoira, of the Heftik, lying in that warehouse, they don't change their status merely by using them for hatmana, because he's certainly going to bring it back there. They still have that Schoira identity to them. They're still regarded as items of commercial use, and therefore they still retain their Muktzah status. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabba Bar Bachana Kameidu Rab. Rabba Bar Bachana presented the following braisa in front of Rav. The braisa says as follows: Chariyoy shel dekel, these branches of the palm tree, the hard branches, shegodron leitzim, which he harvested to be used for firewood. However, v'nimlach alein the yeshiva, he changed his mind and decided to use them to sit on them. Sorich lekasha, he needs to he needs to tie them, to bundle them together, and do a maisa to indicate his intention, to be megala his das, to reveal his plans, that he intends on using them no longer for firewood, but rather, at least for the time being, he intends on using them for yeshiva, to sit on them. And this will make them muktza no longer. This makes them lose their muktza status. So initially his intention was to use them for firewood, and by doing so, they are considered to be muktza. But if he goes ahead and ties them together, he does a maisa, which is maichiach, that is intended for yeshiva. It demonstrates that the intent and purpose here is to use them for sitting on them. That affects its status and is no longer considered to be muktza. So according to Tanakam, a maisa, an action is required. A maisa which facilitates the use of these etzim for the permissible use. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, ein tzorach lekasha. It doesn't need to actually tie them together. A maisa is not necessary. It's enough if he intends on using them for yeshiva, if he has a machshava, a plan, that is sufficient. Continues the Gemara, who tanigla? So Rabbi Bar Chana was the one who presented this brisa, who amrla, and he commented on that halacha k'rab Shimon Gamliel, that the halacha follows Shimon Gamliel's the shita, that a maisa is not required, a machshava is sufficient. Continues the Gemara, we actually have a machleks amaraim in this regard. It's my regard. Rav Amar Kosher. He needs to tie them. He needs to have a maisa which indicates his intent and purpose. Ushmul Amar Kosher. Machshava, planning, intention is sufficient. For Rav Asi Amar, none of the above is required. Yoshev. Even merely using them, sitting on them before Shabbos. The Shimush itself is matter, these Eitzim. It makes them lose their muktzah status. Yoishev afa bishalai kisher, even though he didn't tie them, he didn't bundle them, va'afa bishalai kisher, even though he didn't even have kavana, he didn't have intention to use them tomorrow for yeshiva, he merely sat on them on Erev Shabbos, that already changes its status, and we consider it to be designated for yeshiva, for sitting, and it is no longer considered to be muktzah. Okay, so we have a brisa, which contains two opinions. The Tanakhama says, a maisa is needed. Shimola says, a maisa is not needed. A machshav is sufficient. Then we have a machlekes amaraim. Rav says, we need a maisa. We need to do an act which aids and assists and facilitates the shimush heter. For instance, bundling these pieces of wood together, which enables it for yeshiva. Shmuel says machshava is enough. Rav Asi says even shimush is enough. So I'm going to try to align the amaraim with the tanoim. So we'll go as follows. Bishleima Rav. We understand that Rav, who the amar katanakam, Rav who requires maisa, he concurs with shita tanakam, who also requires maisa. Ushmuel nami, who the amar kav shem gamliel, Shmuel concurs with the shita shem gamliel, who tells us that machshav is sufficient. El Rav Asi, who tells us that neither maisa nor machshav is required, even merely using it before Shabbos is sufficient to give it a status of a non-muktza item. Damar Kaman, whose shita is he following? Says the Gemara, we found the shita. Who the Amar Ki Hai Tana, he follows the following Tana, the Sanhedrin we learned in the Brisa. Yoitzin bepikurin ubetzipa. So pikurin are these pieces of combed flax. Betzipa are combed pieces of combed wool. So the point of these objects is to place it on one's wound to protect it from the from his clothing rubbing and irritating the wound. It's not meant for refor because refor can be done on Shabbos. So these pieces of fibers and material can be placed on the mak on Shabbos, and he can actually take it out with him, go out to a public domain to Rosh Hashanah. It's not considered to be carrying. Tosfos points out it's not considered to be a muktza item as well, because it's considered to be a malbush. It's like an article of clothing. Once again, says the Brisa, Yoitzin, one can walk out to Rosh Hashanah b'pekurin or b'tzipa when provided that he designated it. He prepared it for this use. Bizman shetzavon, b'shemen, he dipped it in oil, which softens it and protects the maka from being irritated by the clothing. V'korcham b'meshicha, he wrapped it with some sort of strap, a ribbon, which will enable him to attach it, to strap it onto himself and ensure that this bandage doesn't fall off. So when he does these acts of preparation, he turns it into sort of a malbush. And one can be metaltal on Shabbos, it's not muktzah. One can walk out with it to Rishus HaRabim. It's not considered to be carrying a load. It's considered to be like one of his articles of clothing. However, loy tzavan b'shemen, but if he didn't dip it in oil, loy karchav b'mashicha, or he didn't wrap it with this mashicha, so he didn't do these two acts of preparation, then ein yoytzim b'hem, he cannot carry it out with him, because it doesn't have a din, doesn't have a status of a garment, of a malbush, and as Tosis points out, it's also muktzah, because it's not considered to be a kli. So the Baisa tells us that in order to make this into a malbush, into a kli, you need to get it full of oil, you need to get the strap on it. However, the Baisa concludes, v'miyotso ben sho'achas miboidoy, but if he walked out with it for one moment, miboidoy, before Shabbos, so if he already used it before Shabbos, as Tosis points out, it doesn't necessarily mean he needs to walk out and just run with it. Hu adin, says Tosis, Yoshaben Bebeisa, he sat in his home with it, meaning he used it for a moment before Shabbos. In that case, the Shimush itself grants it a status of a Malbush. Ava v'shaloi tzava, v'loi karcha v'meshicha, even without those acts of preparation, of smearing with oil, putting the strap on it, mutar lotas bam, he can use it on Shabbos. So the Braisa clearly tells us that even without a Maisa, even without preparing it and facilitating it for use, merely by using it, the Shimush itself changes its status, grants it a status, a din of a Malbush, of a Kli, and it is Muksa no longer. Says more, indeed, this is the source, Tana, of the Shita Ravasi, who maintains as well that a Muksa item can lose its Muksa status merely by use, by Shimush. Omravashi, afana nametanina. I will also show you a mission that we learned, which will support Rav Asi's din. The mission says, Hakash al gabemita, you have a pile of kash, of straw, lying on a bed. And he wants to use the bed, and this straw, this stiff straw, which is piled up, is getting in the way. Loyana neno biyada, he can't move it around and flatten out the straw using his hand directly, because kash is muktzah. Why is kash muktzah? Rashi explains, because generally kash, straw, is intended to be used for cement making, for making of bricks, or lahasaka, to be used as fuel in a fire. So it's considered to be muktzah. He can't directly come into contact with it, avol b'na'anoy b'gufay, but he can move it around using his body. So indirect contact is okay. Avol imhoya machal behema, however, if it was designated to be used for animal feet, or alternatively there was a car, a pillow lying on it, or a sudden a sheet lying on it from before Shabbos, in that case it is not considered to be muktzah any longer. The kash loses its muktzah status. Why? As a result of having been used before Shabbos, having this car or sudden placed on the kash is considered to be a shimush heter, and this makes the kash lose its muksa status. Shmamino, indeed, this is a raya to Rav Asi. So once again, we have three shitas. In order to change the status of a muksa object, what do you need to do? Either maisa, machshava, or merely shimush. Continues the Gemara. Let's go back to the Braisa, where we had a shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who tells us that machshava is sufficient, intention, planning to use it, sufficient to change the status. Tanakama disagrees. Tanakama says, no, you need specifically maisa, an act, a maisa which facilitates its use. For instance, tying together the etzim in a bundle. Who who exactly is the Tana? Who is the author of that Shita? We had no name. We had a Tanakam without a name. Says the Gemara, Uman Tana, the Palagay Dev Shem Malil. Who exactly is that Tana, which was mentioned anonymously in the Brisa? Says the Gemara, it's actually Rav Chanina ben Akavya. How do we know that? The Chiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, he told us, Omar Zeiri. So he told us the name of Zeiri, Omar Rav Chanina, Pamachas, Holach Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya Lomokim Echot. There was once an incident where Rav Chanina ben Akavya went to a certain place. Umatza, he encountered Chariyah Shaldekel, these hardened palm tree branches, Shegodrom Lashometzim, that were harvested for the sake of firewood, and they're Moktzim. Now they wanted to use them tomorrow on Shabbos. So he instructed his students, he instructed his Talmidim to do as follows. Tzu, go out there, Vechishvu, and intend on using these Eitzim tomorrow. Kedei Shanesha Olehim Lamachar, so we can go out and use them and sit on them tomorrow. He didn't require them to bundle them up. Machshav alone was sufficient. However, Zeiri concluded this story by saying, V'lo yadana, I'm unsure, I'm uncertain whether Ibeis HaMishtav, if the circumstance there was involving Ibeis HaMishtav, a wedding, Ibeis HaAvalava, or it was a more for a mourner's home, and since they were preoccupied with these mitzvahs, they didn't have the time to go ahead and tie them together. Therefore, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva was lenient in this regard. He didn't require him to go and bundle them. Says the Gemara, this implies Mideka Omar, the fact that he says Ibeis HaMishtahava, Ibeis HaAvalava, I'm not sure whether it was this or that. Apparently, that is the reason for the kula, for the leniency. That is the reason why he didn't require them to bundle them. Dafka, specifically Beis HaAvel, or Beis HaMishtah, they treated because they were preoccupied. Therefore, in that case, Machshava was sufficient. Avel Hacha, but here, in an ordinary scenario, we had the time to go ahead and bundle them. In this case, bundling is required. Koshar in, if you bundle these branches together, he did a maisa, to indicate that he intends on using them for yeshiva, then it loses its muktzah status. But loy kashar loy, but otherwise it's still muktzah. So apparently this is indeed the Tanakama who requires a maisa. It was only in that unique circumstance where it was a Beis HaAvel, Beis HaMishtah, where they didn't have the opportunity. It wasn't possible for them to tie it together. They were tired, they were preoccupied, therefore a leniency was applied. But ordinarily speaking, a maisa is required. Continues the Gemara. We find a similar concept with Amar Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda taught us that this idea that although a maisa is required generally, but if a maisa is not feasible, then the Chacham were lenient and allowed even a machshava to suffice. As we will see in the following halacha, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Machnis Adam, a person could bring in Maloi Kuposai offer, so he can spill out a whole basket, a whole box of earth into his home. Why is he doing that? To use it for his needs, to cover some waste with it. So we don't consider the offer to be muktzah. Why? Dorosh Marzutra, Mishmei de Marzutra Rabba. So he taught us in the name of Marzutra Rabba. V'hu sheyich lekeren zavos. When indeed is the offer not considered to be muktzah, provided that he designated for it a keren zavos, a corner. So he piled it up in the corner. And by doing so, he prepared it, he designated it for this use. However, if he merely piles it in the middle of his home, that's not sufficient to lose its muktzah status. Why is that? Explains Rashi. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. He's 20 lines from the bottom. Rashi says, "V'hu sheyich lo keren zavos." Why? "Dahavi k'muchan v'oymid l'kach." It's considered to be muchan, prepared and designated for this purpose. Aval nosnei be'emtza beisai. However, if he merely spills in the middle of the room over there, limidras raglayim, will be trampled by the passerby, or the members of his household. Hariu batel legabe karkayas habayis. It is considered to be nullified to the karka of the house. Umuktzav asa. It's muktzah. So it's only provided that he put it in the corner, he designated it on the side, and in that case it's considered to be muchan, and not mukta. Says the Gemara. Apparently, the fact that merely piling it in the Karen Zavis is sufficient, even though it's merely a machshava. It was merely an intention that took place here. There was no mice here because piling it in the corner is not an intrinsic change in the offer. There was no. He didn't facilitate it for use. He didn't enable it for use. It's merely a change of location. He took it from the outside and piled it in the corner of his home. This is not considered to be a maisa, which is indicative of the future use of this offer. So apparently, Rav Yehuda tells us that by this offer, machshava, intent, planning is sufficient to render it a non-muksa item. Amru Rabbanon kameder apap. So Rabbanon said in front of Rav Papa that if we're going to analyze this halacha, apparently we're going to conclude keman. Who does Rav Yehuda follow? Rav Shimon Gamliel. He's following the sheet of Shimon Gamliel, who says that merely machshav is sufficient to be matir the muktzah item betiltal on Shabbos, the ikra Rabbanon, because according to the sheet of Rabbanon, ha'amri b'inan ma'isa, they require a ma'isa. This is not considered to be a ma'isa. No. Even if you'll propose that Rav Yehuda is actually following Shittas Rabbanon, who generally require Maisa to be Mata the Chavetz Betiltal. But this is different. Why? At kan lakam Rabbanon to be a Maisa. When do Rabbanon require Maisa? Elamidi, only regarding a Chavetz, an object, the bar avida be Maisa, where a Maisa is possible. It is possible to do a ma'isa with it. For instance, those branches, where you can simply bundle them up. So a bundling, a ma'isa is required. Aval midi, the lav bar, mi'av de be'ma'isa. However, an item, a chefetz, which a ma'isa is not feasible. It's not possible to do a ma'isa to it. For instance, this offer, what's it going to do to facilitate its future use? It's offer, it's sand, it's dirt. So a ma'isa doesn't apply at all. Concept of doing an action doesn't apply. Loi, indeed, a ma'isa is not required in this case. Now the question is why? If a ma'isa is a requirement, how can we remove this requirement just because you can't do it? Why should the machshava be sufficient? Explain the ritva, because in reality, a machshava should really suffice. If he has the intent purpose to use this chefetz for a shimosh heter, that really should be enough to make it mutter betiltal. However, the Rabbanon were machmer. They applied a stringency. They said, you know, it's not sufficient, it's not enough to have a machshava. One needs to actually indicate, to reveal, to demonstrate that this chefe is going to be used for that purpose, for that function. Therefore, the Chacham required, in addition to machshava, it also required a ma'isa to be done. But this is a chumah, this is a stringency. Therefore, says the Ritva, in a case where that can't be done, it's simply not feasible. So the Rabbanon were not stringent in that case, and they said, suffice that he has a machshava, that is enough to make it mutter betiltal. But that in itself is really considered to be a designation through machshava alone. So if all you can do is a machshava, that already changes its status and considered to be designated and set aside for the shimush heter. So in summary, we have three shittos regarding taking an item, an object of mukta, and changing it into an object which is mutter betiltal. We have maisa, we have machshava, and we have shimush. So Rav holds that a maisa is necessary. But as we just concluded, that's only if he can do a maisa. However, if something is not bar maisa, for instance, the offer, or in the early case in the Gemara with the Beis HaOval, Beis HaMishta, that they were preoccupied. They couldn't make the mice. In that case, a machshava is sufficient. And as the Gemara told us, Rav concurs with the Shita of Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya that a mice is required generally. Shmuel teaches us a mice is not required, merely intending, having a machshava, planning on using it on Shabbos is sufficient. And he follows the Shita of Shimon Gamliel. Finally, we have Shitas Rav Asi, who tells us that Shimush, merely using the object before Shabbos, already grants it a status of a not on Muktza item. And as Gemara told us, he concurs with the second Braisa. We actually have a Raif in the Mishnah to this Shita as well. Continues the Gemara. Okay, so we just learned a new concept that even according to the Shita, that ordinarily requires a Maisa, an action, in order to remove its Muktza status. But if it's not feasible, then it's not needed. Says the Gemara, this is actually based on Machlokes Tanoi. Kitanoi, we have one Braisa which tells us, Bakoil Chofen Esakil. One can use any sort of substance to polish a vessel on Shabbos. Chutz Mikli Chesa Bergartikoin. Except if he uses Gartikoin, which was tartar, which was found in the bottom. Actually, says it's deposited in the chavish shel yain, the barrels of wine, v'ukurin loy alum. So this material, this gartikoin, cannot be used in the polishing of klei chesav, of silver utensils. Why? Explains Rashi. Because klei chesav, silver items are softer, are more delicate, and when he rubs it with this gartikoin, he's actually not just polishing it. He's not just shining it. He's actually being memachik. He's smoothing out the klei chesav. And that is a malacha of memachik. It's an av malacha. Therefore, one should not use the gartikoin to polish with it klei chesav. Continues the braisa. Abol neser v'choil mutter. However, to use neser, some sort of earth, v'choil, sand, he can use it even in the polishing of klei chesav. That's okay. V'atanya, we have another braisa which tells us, neser b'chol asur. One cannot use neser b'chol polishing. Says the Gemara, what is the point of contention here? My love, you must say, b'hokam iflugi. This is the point of disagreement. It's a muksa discussion. The marasav arbin and maisa. The braisa number two holds that neser b'chol is muksa. Why? Because even though it's not feasible to do a maisa with it, to change its form. Therefore, the concept of doing a ma'isa to remove its muksa status is not practical here. Nevertheless, since a ma'isa wasn't done, there's still muksa. The nesav achol remains muksa. You need a ma'isa in all circumstances. Therefore, the ma'isa says you can't use nesav achol. The first ma'isa holds, umar savar, loy bein a ma'isa. In this case, of the nesav achol, since it is an item which a ma'isa is not feasible to be done to it, a ma'isa is not required. Machshav alone is sufficient. Therefore, one can indeed use Nesav HaChol on Shabbos. So apparently this concept mentioned earlier is actually the point of contention between two Tanoi. Whether or not a ma'isa is still required, even when we're speaking about an item, an object, which is lav bar ma'isa, where it's not practical to do a ma'isa to it. Says Marno, it's actually not a muktzah discussion. Loi, the kuli alma, all agree loi being a ma'isa. In this case, a ma'isa is not required, machshava is sufficient. It's actually not a muktzah discussion. The point of contention, the point of disagreement between these two tanaim is unrelated to muktzah. It's actually related to the malach of memachik. Says Marno, loi kash, it's not difficult. The contradiction will be explained as follows. Ho Rabbi Yehuda, Ho Rabbi Shimon. One Bryce is following Shita's Rehuda, the other one reflects Shita's Rav Shimon. Because even Netzer B'Choyl can perhaps also smooth out the Chli Chesef. It can have that smoothing effect which is Av Malacha. However, it's a Dovah Shem Eskaven. He has no intention of doing this Malacha. He's merely trying to polish the Chli Chesef. So this is considered to be a Dovah Shem Eskaven. One does one act, one ma'isa, which will perhaps result in a secondary act, malacha, be performed, but without his kavana, without his intention to do that malacha. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's asr. Dover shem is kavan is asr. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's muta. So indeed, the two brises are disagreeing on this point. One is following Shita Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Hor Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar Dover Shem Eskavin is Asur, and therefore Nesav HaChol cannot be used in polishing the Klei Chesef, for concern that it might smooth it out, even though he has no Kavanah for that. Dover Shem Eskavin is Asur. the first price which allows is Harav Shimon, following the Shita of Shimon the Omar, Dover Shem is Kavan is Mutter. So it's unrelated to Mukta. The Brises are discussing the Malacha of Memachik, and there's a concern perhaps that will take place Shloi Bekavana. And the Brises are dependent on the Shitas of Rabbi Yehuda, who prohibits, and Rav Shimon, who allows. Continues the Gemara. B'mayu Kimta, Lahadishari. Okay, how have you established and interpreted this Brisa which allows the use of Nesav HaChoyl on Shabbos? Rav Shimon, it's following Shitas of Shimon. Okay, let's move on. Let's take a look at the Seifa, the latter part of that Brisa. Eima Seif. The Brisa says, so you can use it and polishing the kelim, aval, you must know that he can't use it. Lo yochav em roish, sorry, he can't use the nesav achoil to clean his hair with it. Why? Because there's a concern that it will pull out some hair, and that's a malacha. Says him, one second, if we're following shittas Reb Shimon, why is that asur? Vi Reb Shimon, who says davar she'ein miskaven is mutter mishra kashari. We find that Rav Shimon actually allows the use of Nesav HaChoyl. He's not concerned about pulling out hair. It's unintentional. It's not something inevitable. It's something that may not happen, and it's unintentional. And therefore, there should be Mutar on Shabbos. Says, I'll bring you a right. This is not, as we find in the Mishnah. This is with regard to a Nazir who accepted upon himself a vow not to take a haircut. Says Rav Shimon, Nazir, choyfif amifasfis. A Nazir can indeed wash his hair, can clean his hair using the Nesav HaChoyl, these agents. Amifasfis, he can also manually separate the hair with his finger. There's no concern about pulling out hair. Avaloi Surik, but he cannot use a comb to comb his hair, because in that case, as Rashi says in the fourth line, Avaloi Surik b'masrik divadai mesher, because it certainly will pull out some hair. And since it's inevitable that will happen, it's us even according to Reb Shimon. So we see clearly that even according to Reb Shimon, there's no concern when one uses the Nesav HaChoyl agents to clean his hair. There's no concern about pulling out hair. It's considered to be a davar she'ein miskaven. Second, the Brisa tells us, this Brisa, which is following Shitas Reb Shimon, how could that Brisa tell us that on Shabbos, one cannot clean his hair using Nesav HaChoyl? Says the Gemara, apparently it's not following Shimon's Shita. Ella, you must say, rather, both prices are following Shita's review. They reflect Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which holds that Dover Shimon's Kavan is Asur. That explains why he can't use the Nesav HaChoyl to clean his hair. We're concerned about pulling out hair. If so, how are you going to reconcile this apparent contradiction between the Braisa, which says that Nesav HaChoyl can be used in polishing the Klei Chesef, the other Braisa, which tells us that it's usur to be used for that purpose? How are you going to answer that steer? Says the Gemara, Tzrei Tanoi, I'll leave the Buddha. There are two Tanoim which base their opinions on Rabbi Yehuda. They both concur with Rabbi Yehuda's concept that Dover Shem is Kavan is usur. So what is the point of contention between them? Hi Tana Ali Rabbi Yehuda Savar. So one Tana who's following Rabbi Yehuda Shita holds, Gurr, that we are concerned about this Nesav HaChoyl smoothing out the Klei Chesef, which is a Malacha, it's a Davar She'ein Miskaven Eretz Asur. So this is Braisa number 2, which told us that one cannot use Nesav HaChoyl. V'hai Tana, however, the first Tana who told us that it is mutter to use Nesav HaChoyl to polish the Klei Chesef, he holds. He's following Rabbi Yehuda Shita. V'hai Tana, lead Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Loiger, he holds that there's no concern with this Nesav HaChoyl. It won't scrub, it won't smooth out these silver items, and therefore there's no concern even according to Rabbi Yehuda. So once again, in conclusion, both prices are following Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Davar She'ein Miskaven is Asur. The point of contention is simply whether or not this Nesav HaChoyl will be me'amachik, will smooth out those Klei Chesef. Says, okay, but Mayu Kimta, Rabbi Yehuda, how have you established these prices? They reflect Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Eima Seifa, let's take a look at the bottom part of the Brisa, Brisa number 1. Brisa told us he can use the Nesav HaChoyl for Klei Chesef, but he cannot use it to clean his hair on account of a concern that it will pull out his hair. But the Brisa concludes by saying, although he can't use it to clean his hair, Avo, but he could use it. Pan of yod raglo muta, he can use it to wash his face, hands, and feet. Says him, why is that allowed? Homi aver seir. He's going to pull out hair of his beard. Says Gemara, very simply, Yiboyisem, a katan. One answer is, Sigmat a minor, who doesn't have a beard, they katan. Yiboyisem, a isha, woman, who doesn't have a beard. Yiboyisem, a soris, a man who has a medical condition where he doesn't have a beard growing. So there's no concern of pulling out any hair. So in summary, we have two brises. Brise number one, which tells us that one can use Nesav HaChol in polishing the silver items. Brise number two, which says it's Aser. How are we going to reconcile this apparent contradiction? So we have three stages in the Gemara. Initially, we figured it was a Mukta question. First Brise says, a Maisa is not required. It's not Mukta. Second Brise says, a Maisa is required to nullify the Mukta status from the Nesav HaChol, and therefore they're Mukta. The Gemara retracted from that and proceeded and said, no, all agree, in the case of Choyl, Neser v'Choyl, since it's not practical, a Maisa there is not feasible, a Maisa is not required, merely a Machshav is sufficient to remove its Mukta status. So what then is the point of contention between two Braises? It's nothing to do with Mukta. The discussion here is a Melach of Mumachik. Since by using the Neser v'Choyl to polish the Klei Chesef, it carries a concern, a possibility that it will smooth it out, which is a melacha v'machik. Although it's davar she'ein meskaven, perhaps that is also, and indeed that is the point of contention. According to the first brisa, which is following Shitas Rav Shimon, it's mutter because davar she'ein meskaven is mutter. Second brisa, which reflects Rav Yehuda's shita, holds that it's aser because davar she'ein meskaven is aser. The Gemara fell away from that and concluded that both brises are reflecting Shitas Rav Yehuda. The machlekes simply is whether there's a concern by Nesav HaChol whether or not is going to smooth out the Klei Chesef. According to the first brisa, there is no concern that it will do that. According to the second brisa, there is a possibility that it will be goyer, it will smooth it out, and therefore we don't allow him to use it. Because even though he has no kavana to smooth out the Klei Chesef, davar she'ein meskaven is awesome. Continues the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda, offer leventa, a crushed brick, shuri, one can use it to clean his hair, to clean his face, even if he has a beard, there's no concern that it will rip out here. Om Rav Yosef, kuspa de yasmin, pulp of sesames, of crushed sesames, is also shuri, can be used for that purpose. Om Rav, offer pilpili shuri, crushed peppers, these two are mutter, powdered peppers are mutter, there's no concern with these agents of pulling out here. Om Rav Sheshes, Barda Shari. This agent called Barda is also permitted for this use. My Barda, what exactly is this? Om Rav Yosef. It actually has three ingredients. Tilsa Ahola, it is a third Ahola. Rashi says it is a root, Shurish of an Asa that's called Ahol. So a third of it is this Ahola, Vitilsa Asa, a third of it is Asa Hadas, a myrtle. Vitilsa Sigli, a third is made of violets. So it's a third, a third, and a third. So when it's used in this proportion, it's okay. So apparently if you use more than a third of the Ola in it, it makes it too powerful, too potent, which will carry with it a risk of pulling out here. Omar Mechemi Bar Yosef. No, even more than a third of Ola is okay. Kolecha the Lekaruba Ola Shavar Dami. As long as this Barda agent, this cleaning agent, doesn't contain a majority of Ola, it's okay, even if it contains more than a third of Allah, it doesn't carry a risk of pulling out here on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Bo Minayim Rav Sheshes. They ask the following Shalat Rav Sheshes. Ma'olif Tzoya Zesem B'Shabbos. May one go ahead and take olives and crush it onto a rock on Shabbos. The crushing process sweetens it somewhat. So can that be done on Shabbos? Now what is the concern? He explains Tosfos, perhaps it's also because he's being a sack in the oichel. He's fixing the food. Perhaps that's asur. Amalu, so Rav Sheshes responded, you ask about Shabbos? V'chi b'chol mi'yitiroi? Why do you focus on Shabbos? How are you allowed to do this even during the weekday? Because Savar, Rav Sheshes holds, he can't do it. Mishum hefsed oichlen, on account of wasting the food. How's he wasting the food? Because the oil that gets squeezed out when he crushes the olives goes to waste. So therefore, it's not allowed to be done even during the weekdays. Says the Gemara, really? Lema pliga de Shmuel? Perhaps. Apparently, Rav Sheish is in disagreement with Shmuel, who told us, Damar Shmuel, Oisa Adam Kol Tzarko Pas. One can use bread for any purpose. For instance, Rashi says, to be tashmish should be used as I think the Gemara over there says in brachos to lean on it the bowl. So for any personal use, or Rashi says to crumble into a dish. So Shmuel holds that pas can be used for anything. So apparently Rav Sheshes disagrees with him. He holds that crushing it is a problem. Says where is the difference? Hamri, they said pas lemeisa. When he uses the bread for his purpose, he's not being memaised to pas. He's not making it repulsive. He's not ruining it. He's not wasting it. Hani meisi, but these olives, meaning the juice that comes out of the olives, goes to waste. It becomes repulsive. Therefore, it's not allowed to be done. It's not allowed to be done even during the weekdays. Continues the Gemara. Ameimar umarzutu ravashi. Havayasvu. So Ameimar umarzutu was sitting. Ameimar, together with Marzutra and Rav Ashi, they were sitting Aisil Kamayu Barda. So Barda, this cleansing agent that we discussed earlier, was brought before them. And what did they do with it? Ameimar Rav Ashi, Moshu. Ameimar and Rav Ashi both washed themselves with it. Some say Moshu died their hands with this Barda. Marzutra LeMoshu, Marzutra did not use it. He hesitated to use this Barda. So on relay, they told him, what's wrong? Why do you refuse to use this? Apparently it was on Shabbos. And he refused to use it in a place, they figured he was afraid of pulling out hair. Why are you concerned with using this barda? Do you not hold the Rav Sheshes who told us? Do you not hold the Rav Sheshes? There's no concern of pulling out any hair. Amar Lahura Mardechai, so Mardechai responded to them to Ameimar Ravashi. He says, look, Barmine Demar, count him out of the equation. It's not because of this. It's not on account of a concern of pulling out hair on Shabbos that he is refusing to use his barda. Because even during the weekday, he will not do it. Afil Bechoil Namiloi. Namiloi. Even during the weekday, he wouldn't use his barda. Lamiloi Svirle. He doesn't hold that one is allowed to use his barda. Now apparently this barda was not just something which simply cleaned. It was something which beautified the person. It was apparently had a cosmetic property to it. And therefore, he refused to use it even during the weekday. Why? Savala, because he held the sanya. Like the following braisa, which says, Megar Odam, one could scrape off gilday tsoya, crust of dirt from his body, the gilday maka, crust of a wound, shalbasarai, bishvil tsarai, because it's inconveniencing him, it's uncomfortable. But if the purpose of his hair is to beautify oneself, asur, that is not allowed. Why is it asur? Says Rashi, right off to the side, mishum liyapos is atzmai asur, says Rashi, mishum lo yilbash gever simlas isha. Torah says a male is not to wear a article of clothing, a woman's article of clothing. Here too, one cannot beautify himself using this agent, this barda, because this isra applies to all types, all forms of beautification. Beautifying oneself, grooming oneself, is a woman's thing. A man is not allowed to get himself involved in this. Therefore, he refused to clean himself with this barda. Says the Gemara, if so, what did they hold? Ameimar and Rav Ashi, who indeed used this barda, why was it allowed? The inu they command sabru. Who did they hold like? Says Gemara. Viru command sabru ki hod the sanya like the following brayse. Roichet zodam pon of yadav ragla b'chol yom. One is meant to wash his face, hands, and feet every day. Bishvil koinoi on account of respect and honor for Hashem. Bishvil shenamar as it says koil poil Hashem. Everything Hashem created in this world lemaneu for His honor. As Rashi explains, this is the next Rashi off to the side, Bishvil Koineyu. Lichvoid Koineyu. To honor and respect Hashem. What is the connection between washing oneself, keeping oneself clean with respect to Hashem? Says Rashi, very simple. Lichsiv ki beitzelem alekim asas adam. Hashem created a human being in His own form, in His own tzelem. So maintaining a clean body when one sees the other person's tzelem form clean, he relates to Hashem differently. It brings a person closer to Hashem because a person's tzura, a person's form, it resembles Hashem's tzura, kaviyachol. And therefore, he relates to Hashem with a different relationship. He relates to him, it brings him closer to Hashem. V'oit, says Rashi, d'haroya b'riyos nois. Another reason a person sees handsome b'riyos, nice-looking, clean-looking people, oimer bar shkocha b'olam. So one sees nice b'riyos, nice creatures, he tends to thank Hashem. It arouses a feeling of appreciation to Hashem. So on account of both of these reasons, number one, because the person's form, person's tzura, resembles Hashem's tzura. One is meant to keep it clean, so that others will relate to Hashem's tzura with the utmost respect. It will bring them closer to Hashem. Therefore, that is one reason to wash oneself. Number two, because b'riyos yafos evoke people's feeling of appreciation to Hashem. So it's for a good purpose. It's a shem shamayim. Therefore, certainly one is meant to wash himself every single day. Continues the Gemara. Rab Elazar ben Azariah Omer, kupa matal sida v'noitel. We're discussing the kupa, the basket, the box containing the insulated pot, which was insulated using the gizei tzemer, the shearings of wool, which are muksa. Rab Elazar ben Azariah says, don't remove the pot from there. Simply tip over the entire box and remove the contents in that manner. Chacham say it's okay, you can take out the pot and return it. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rab Abba Omar Rav Chibar Ashi. Omar Rav. Hakol Moedim, all agree. Shim Neskalkla Aguma. That if the cavity where the hole where the pot was sitting, it was Neskalkla, got ruined, the Gizei Tzemer collapsed into the cavity. All agree that it's Muksa. Sh'asa Lachsa. You can't go push back the Gizei Tzemer. As Tosis points out, he can't use the pot to push them aside, because he's directly handling the Gizei Tzemer. Even if he uses the pot to do that, it's also considered to be Tiltul Muktzeh and it's also. Okay, says the Gemara, let's take a look at the Mishnah. Tanan we learned in the Mishnah. Noitel Machzer. He may remove the pot and put it back in its place. And Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, no, we can't do so. How are we going to understand this Machlikas? Hey Chidami, what are we speaking about? What happened here? Idiloy Neskalkla Guma. If the cavity has not been disturbed, Shafi Kamer Rabbanon. And we understand the Rabbanon perfectly. What's wrong with putting back the pot? There's no muktzah involved. And as Tosis points out, what is the reason for Shitas Rav Elazar ben Azariah? Why does he prohibit? El Alav must be speaking about Afa Pish Neskalkla Guma. And even if the Guma collapsed, there's Gizei Tzemer inside the cavity. According to Rabban, one may restore put back the pot, because you can push around the Gizei Tzemer using the pot. So apparently, the Mishnah is indicating, not like the statement of Abu Toras, that the Gizei Tzemer are usher, once they fall into the cavity, cannot push them aside. Says Rabbanu, we're speaking about the cavity hadn't collapsed. We're not discussing moving around the Gizei Tzemer. There's certainly muktzah. So what then is the point of contention? What is the machlekes between Rabbi Elazar and Zayin Rabbanon? V'ha'acha b'choishish kamiflugi. It's a question of concern. Mar savar choishishin shemen eskalkel. Some agarish choishishem shemen eskalkel. Rabbi Elazar is concerned that if he takes out the pot completely from the hole, from the cavity, we're concerned that perhaps the Gizei Tzemer will collapse into this hole and he'll be inclined to go ahead and push them around and be metal to muktzah. So don't remove the pot. Choyshishin shemen tiskalkel agum. Omar Sav the Chacham said, no, ain't choyshishin, we're not concerned. As the Farshim explained, it would be gzera. If we had to apply an isser in this case, you can't remove the pot. That's one gzera. I'm concerned that the guma will collapse, and he'll go ahead and touch muksa, which is really isser drabana. So it's really a double gzera, double drabana, and the Chacham hold. We do not apply an isser in this case. Continues the Gemara, Omar Afun, Hais Likusta. So Rashi explains this is a plant, a pleasant looking and smelling plant, which was inserted into a container of moist earth, and would be removed when one wanted to smell it. So this slikusta, this plant, this asif, can it be removed on Shabbos from this offer? It depends. Dotsa, if it was inserted into the offer, shof and removed, v'hadar dotsa, and inserted again before Shabbos, Sharia, in this case it's mutter, because the hole was already widened and broadened, and when one goes and removes this asep, this plant on Shabbos, he's not generating, he's not creating a hole, he's not doing the malach of choifer. V'ilav, however, if this plant was not put in and out twice, then the hole is too narrow, it's too tight, it's too firm. Also, he can't remove it on Shabbos because doing so, it broadens the hole and it's considered to be a malach of choifer. Amar Shmuel, sima alacha, hay sakina, this knife, the Beni Urvi, which was plucked between the rows of bricks. Here too, we require that from before Shabbos, it had been already put in twice. Dotza, it had been put in, shofar, withdrawn, vada dotza, and placed in again between the bricks. In that case, shari, it is mutter to do it on Shabbos. Because in that case, the hole is wide enough. V'ilav asr, however, if it wasn't done to this extent, it's asr to do it on Shabbos because he is making a hole, and making a hole is asr, it's a malacha. Malacha of teldav boina. Kedin is Gemara, third case. Marzuta, v'itim Rav Ashi Omar, bigur daisa de kani shaber dami. And we have a clump of reeds, which are growing tightly together. One can go ahead and stick his knife between them. There's no concern. What can be the concern? There's no concern that perhaps the peel of the reed will get peeled off and he's doing a malach v'machek. There's no concern. Now Taisus points out, how can you use the reeds on Shabbos when it's not meant to use a tree on Shabbos? Says Taisus, we're speaking about it's within three tefachim of the karka and it's allowed. Says the Gemara, Omer le Rav Mordechai le Rav, Moser Rav Katina to Yuvter Rav Katina asked the following kasha, how could Rav Huna say that the only way he can pull out a plant from the earth is if the hole was sufficiently widened before Shabbos? Otherwise he can't do it. The following Mishnah seems to indicate otherwise. The Mishnah says, "Hatoymeina lefes utznoines, one who buries turnip or radishes tachas agef and underneath a vine, he did it for the purpose of storage, of safekeeping. He didn't intend to plant it there." Says the Mishnah, "Hoyu mixas olav megulim, if some of the leaves were exposed, ene choishes, there's no concern like mishum kelayim, v'lo mishum shvius, v'lo mishum meiser. He's not mixing up two species. He's not planting it under the vine." He can do it on Shemitah. He doesn't have to be concerned about Chiyuv Maaseh. Perhaps the radishes grew on the ground. Now Rashi points out that the point of the leaves being exposed is specifically stated for the halacha of Muktzah. For the halacha of Kalaim Shviyas and Maaseh, there's no need to have leaves exposed. But to remove it on Shabbos, he needs leaves. So he can pluck it out using those leaves, even though when he pulls it out, some of the earth around the hole will get moved around. We see there's no concern. Here as well, says Rav Katina, he can pull out the plant from the earth, even though when he does so, some of the earth around this pre-existing hole will get loosened up. There's no concern. It's not considered to be a malacha to yuft indeed. This is a refutation on Rav Huna's chiddush. Even when it's tightly fitting, he can go pull it out on Shabbos. Okay, time for a chazara on today's daf. So the daf began discussing the Gizei Tzemer shearings of all which are muktzah. The Gemara told us that if he permanently designates them, for instance, for Atmana, then they lose their muktzah status. If he is miyachad them, then they're mutter betotal. However, if he merely uses them for Atmana, then it depends. Ordinary Gizei Tzemer lose their muktzah status based on that. However, those Gizei Tzemer sitting in the heftek, this warehouse, this pile of commercial items, intended specifically for commercial use, those Gizei Tzemer retain their muktzah status, even if he used them for Atmana. Unless he specifically is meyachad them, he permanently designates them for Atmana. The Gemara proceeded and told us that even an object which is muktzah can lose its muktzah status provided that he designates it for shimush heter. We have three shitas. What is required? One shita says a ma'is is required. Needs to do an act, an action which will facilitate its use. The Gemara actually proceeded and concluded that when that's not feasible, then certainly a machshava designation is enough, even according to this shita. We have another shita which says a ma'is is not required. Merely planning, intending on using it is sufficient. The machshava is enough. Rav Asi holds that none of those are required. Merely using it, shimush, is sufficient. If you use it in Erev Shabbos, that itself is sufficient to grant it heter tiltel. The Gemara proceeded by giving us a contradiction, an apparent stira between one brayso which says one may use neser b'chol to polish his silver with. The other brayso prohibits. The Gemara had three stages. Initially, the Gemara said it's a muktzah discussion. The Gemara proceeded and said, no, we're discussing a possible malacha, a davar she'en miskaven. One sheet is following Rav Shimon, who says it's mutter. The other bryce is following Rav Yehuda, says it's aser. We conclude that both are reflecting sheet of Rav Yehuda. The Davish Shem is coming as aser. The bryce which allows holds that there's no concern of smoothing out the Kli Chesed with the Nesef HaChoyel. It won't happen. The other bryce says it's aser, or perhaps it will smooth out the Kli Chesed. The more preceding told us that this cleansing agent called Barda is mutter. There's no concern of it pulling out here. The more told us that one may not waste food. Hefsed Oichlin. One is meant to wash his face, hands, and feet for the sake of Hashem's honor. The Gemara told us that according to the Chacham, one may pull out the pot from the cavity. There's no concern that the guma will collapse and he will do muktzah. And finally, one can pull out this plant from the earth. There's no concern of generating a hole on Shabbos.